Yeah, so Will, howdy, because I forgot a button. It's Monday. A lot on my mind. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is The Horn. The Head On Radio Network, America's liberal voice at headonradionetwork.com. Available in a variety of platforms, The Horn is, places like Stitcher and iTunes Radio and TuneIn Radio and Tuner Internet Radio and a host of other platforms whose names I probably haven't been made aware of yet. And, of course, podcasting is available directly from the White Rose Society, whiterosesociety.org, as well as being available on iTunes, unlike so many others, for free. Yes, indeed, for free. 2.5 minutes past the hour, and, okay, program note. We will have a show tonight and a show tomorrow. Wednesday, I hit the road for Wisconsin. And I'll be speaking up there a couple of times. The last one will be on Saturday, the 19th, in Chippewa Falls. Then I fly home on Sunday. And there will be no show all of the following week. So 3 days out of the list this week and all of next week as I go to Europe. It looks like now I will be addressing 4 different banks, two in France and 2 in Germany, and returning on June the 1st, which is a Friday. Again, it is time-consuming and tiresome, and no time to go to Euro Disney World either, darn it. But it is, I think, effective, as well as, effective is really, it gives us a puncher's chance. You know, that's all anybody wants is a fighting chance. And so if we can make clear to these banksters what it means when they finance these toxic companies that are poisoning our communities, our friends, our neighbors, our loved ones, livers, kidneys, lungs, hearts, brains. Yeah, the zombie coal industry, more brains. As well as things like thyroids and gallbladders, birth defects in the womb. You either have to have a conviction that human beings can be moved toward, call it what you will, doing the right thing, or else you throw your hands up in despair and say, screw it, they're all monsters and they're all gonna kill us, you know, for a profit. And even if the latter is true, you still have to make a choice as to whether you will go fighting, struggling, I don't like fighting as much as I do struggling, or whether you will go passively and lay down and let it be done to you. That was the topic of a very bizarre email that I saw on Saturday morning, telling me to quit. I'm a fan of the show, quit whining, and be willing to die for the cause. You're old and sick, quit traveling, and entertain me with a show every night. Now, I'm not kidding. And one of the nice things about doing this program is that I don't have to put up with a whole lot of, you know, really bizarre people, you know, like right-wingers. But every now and then, one of those comes out of the woodwork. And you kind of go, pretty sure I didn't drop that acid this morning. But yeah, there it was. So among other things, I check in with a number of you. And it just so happened that I had an email from our buddy John regarding something else that happened Friday evening, and I guess we'll just go ahead and finish and clean this little mess up, because it was a mess, too. We had an objection to the use of a word on the program. I remember the word, well, what the late, great Lenny Bruce once said about another hateful word. He said, use it till it loses its meaning. Because they're words. Lenny Bruce also said it takes a dirty mind to make a dirty word. But there was an objection over a word used Friday evening, and in my email box, I got a note from our buddy Dr. John in New York, and he said, maybe I'm off, and this is only representative because I got a bunch of other emails, and I'm not going to read them all because they all say, well, like I said, Dr. John's is representative of what everybody else said. Namely, maybe I'm off on this. It could be my straight white privilege talking, but to me, the use of fag on Friday didn't bother me. Clearly a case of appropriating what used to be a slur. You handled it well, but we need to be much more cognizant of context, I think. Just my 2 cents worth. And John went on to offer some other thoughts regarding, well, my recent absences, which there will be more of, as noted previously. He said, you must continue doing these trips, both for your own peace of mind and for the cause. I was captivated by the image you spun of the Bank of America meeting, and I'm insanely excited to hear you'll be speaking to the German and French banks as well. Weird, says John, because I know I'll never hear it. But that's the strange thing about my experience with the Horn. It started as entertainment and has morphed into an, albeit passive, but to me, very real sort of activism. I feel invested in the issues of Appalachia and especially mountaintop removal that you talk about so much, and I thrilled to hear that you can take the fight to these bastards. I sent an email to Bank of America yesterday basically saying they need to listen to their shareholders and divest from coal based entirely on your Thursday show. It's a tiny thing. Not as tiny as you think, John. It's a tiny thing, he says, but I'd never have done it without the show. Long story short, this program doesn't exist simply for my own amusement. It has a, dare I say it, noble purpose, and live it out when you go do these trips. Our support helps this happen, which gives me a great sense of satisfaction. And speaking of which, says John, on your next program, and this would be that, please announce a challenge. I will match the first $50 to come in. Listen, John continued, you have to live out your beliefs. And if you can combine that with your job, then you're doing most better than most people. What you're doing, both on the program and in your off-air activism, is inspiring. And I hate like hell that you have to sweat the monthly bills to say nothing of you and your family's health issues. Your work needs to continue, and you need to be supported for it. You don't need constant flack from people who are generally on our side. So for me, you get a hearty attaboy and a promise for continuing, though small, support. It ain't small, John, and a complete blessing for continuing to walk the walk. John, I sincerely thank you for that. John didn't know about the weird email. He just wrote in, you're old and sick, so entertain me? F him! Jan noting from the UK, don't forget a fag in the UK is slang for a cigarette. That it is. That it is. Just a couple of notes from the wide, wide world as to the current present status of the show, as well as an urge, and I agree with John, we need to be a little less precious and a little less thin-skinned, because if we can't have these conversations among ourselves, we are certainly not ready to take our struggle to the hate-filled thugs who really, really mean it. Right? Don't you think? So there's that. Meanwhile, I'll go ahead and tell you, because it's all kind of an open book here. Agnes isn't here. I've been a bachelor all weekend. She has been over at our eldest daughter's house helping out with the grandbabies, because my eldest daughter is in the hospital. And I wish it was something boring, but it's not. I hope it is not as gravely serious as my daughter has been afraid that it is. But I will tell you that it just happens to be another one of those things in the human body that, how about that, just happens to be one of those places that coal toxins tend to pile up and make you sick. So that's, you know, just another day here in the Appalachian sacrifice zone. Margie and Ferg and Doodle have been over as well. They and William, Margie's beau, are on their way home right now. Yeah, school and all that stuff. But, you know, there's nothing particularly unique in this. This is the same kind of thing that goes on day after day, week after week, year after year, here in a region of the country where we are literally sacrificed for coal company profits. Well, by the way, in that cranky-ass email I got Saturday morning, I was also told to move. That was one of the things that let me know that I might be dealing with a Fokker, you know, a friend of coal. Because that's one of the things they say. Why y'all don't like Mountain Hot Roll? Why don't you just move? Yeah, where to, Bumpkus? Because that's the thing. See, I don't have a few acres of pristine land out there somewhere in a progressive paradise whence to move. Hell, if I did, maybe we would have. Right? But we don't. And I got to thinking earlier today where that progressive paradise would be. And you know, it's hard to find it on this planet. It is genuinely hard to find it. Bangladesh, they want to displace 20,000 people to get to some coal. China has some of the filthiest places on earth for simply trying to get a breath of air. I saw a photograph the other day of a man who was old and gray-haired and long-bearded, and he was merely seated. Come on, Bob. He was merely seated atop a pile of coal, and his job was to break big pieces of coal into smaller pieces of coal every day of his life for the rest of his life. He wasn't in prison or anything. That's just life. For some sort of god-awful manufactory in Pakistan. I mentioned to you that the world's largest untapped reserve of metallurgical coal has been announced to have been found in Mozambique. So we'll just take Mozambique off the list. 4,000 or 5,000 people have already been displaced from their ancestral homes there. You know at great length what is going on here. Colombia, or certain portions of it, and probably all of it, simply because everything coal touches, coal poisons. Colombia is a hellhole. The Brazilians are the ones exploiting Mozambique, so, you know, there's that. There's a massive coal terminal in Vancouver, British Columbia. There's really nowhere you can get away from the poisoning, so ultimately the question becomes one of, will you fight, or will you sit around until they just decide to come and do you in? I guess I've made, and we here, this family, have made the commitment to standing and engaging in the struggle. All we got in common is our misery, so the least we can do is share it. Right? Wow, suddenly we are $10 short of matching Dr. John's challenge for this evening. Amazing. Thank you. Now, I feel a little funny because this is Monday, and I'm only doing a show today and tomorrow, and then it's on the plane at 7 o'clock on Wednesday morning. And that begins a round of travel that is going to be mind-boggling in nature. Nothing like anything I've ever been through before. Don't worry, I won't be queuing up the Bob Seger on a long and lonely road in a bus. No. But it's gonna be a whirlwind. Me, I'm crossing my fingers for a ride on the Autobahn. You remember, if you've ever seen it, you remember the Gary Cooper film Sergeant York? All I want to do is ride on the Bronx Express. When he got his ticker tape parade and met with Cordell Hull and all that stuff. I just want to ride on the Bronx Express. Well, sub this hillbilly in for, all I want to do is ride on the Autobahn. I guess I'm simple that way. No, I'm not simple. I love the idea of being in a wonderful piece of automotive machinery and doing 160 miles an hour and just sitting back with the seatbelt on and enjoying it. Because, you know, that is literally how they roll over there. But the list of banks has expanded to include now Deutsche Bank. And I'll be speaking there, I think, on the 31st of May, which brings me home on June 1st. It appears that I will be spending my time after Commerzbank and before Deutsche Bank. I'll be spending my time in Berlin. Yes. Yes, I am excited. It is work, but I am excited. Yeah, see? Okay. There's Marty. Marty understands. Ride on the Autobahn in a Porsche 911 or a Bugatti or a Ferrari or a Lambo or just 160, you'll be getting passed. Talk about a bucket list. Marty gets it. No, see, I have dreams, but I try not to let them just run hog wild. I will be more than happy to be in the back of a Mercedes, BMW, nicely belted in the back seat, you know, watching the world go by at 160. It's going to be a very busy time, but, well, you know, Country Mouse doesn't go to the city very often, especially not cities where they, you know, don't even speak Country Mouse's language. I've got to dredge deep into the old high school German and high school French and see if I can avoid embarrassing myself completely. But it is Monday, and there won't be a Wednesday prayer meeting. But Mondays, you know, we reserve Mondays for the morans. Yep, that's right. You got it. Ah, hurry, hurry. Step right up for one thin dime, less than one thin dime, less than one nickel, less than one nickel per hour of programming. You, yes, you, you can step behind this thin cybernetic veil of canvas to see more ends, hear more ends. It's not video. To hear more ends indescribable, more ends incomprehensible, mean more ends, screwy more ends, idiot more ends, right-wing more ends all. Yeah, hurry, hurry, hurry. You can't tell the more ends without a program, and this is the program that tells the more ends. You just can't tell them much. Hurry up, hurry up. Step right up, step right up. Ladies are advised to hang on to their purses, as more ends can be a right-wing more ends can be a money-grubbing lot, and no one will be admitted after the first 5 minutes. Head for the hills, or you'll be up to your armpits in more ends. Yep, it's More End Monday on the Horn. And we will take a little walk down the midway, I suppose. Or behind the, you know, behind the thin cybernetic veil of canvas. And we got lots of freaks this evening. Oh, we got lots and lots of freaks. And some of them should probably ordinarily be saved for prayer meeting Wednesday. But we just can't do that because there won't be one this week. Now, this is a past master of Moran, but we've never retired him, really. We retired Godzilla from Wasilla, you know, Mussolini, Caribou Barbie. We retired her from Moran Monday early on. I think we also retired the Swiss Miss, Michelle 1L Bachman. We retired her, too. I put a little joke on Facebook over the weekend. I said that she was renouncing her Swiss citizenship because she didn't want to answer all those questions from teabaggers about free health care in Stockholm. You get it? It's a joke. It's a joke, Simon. Stockholm's not in Switzerland. The teabaggers think it is. It's a joke, son. It's a joke. But there are some that have never quite managed to get retired from Moran Monday, because we really never get tired of them, and they produce some genuine quality Moranity. Of course, I can't resist this either, under the circumstances.
What's a big idea? What's a big idea? Chasing my worms. You're a cat, son. Cats don't eat worms. You're taking the food right out of my mouth. I don't go around chasing mice. Stand up, boy. You're tripping over your own feet. Now you stay away from worms, and I'll stay away from mice.
And don't forget it.
No dreamboat. Tugboat, that is. This boy's making more noise than a couple of skeletons throwing a fit on a tin roof.
That's the one that slayed me. Slayed Isaac, too, on the tweets over the weekend. Boys making more noise than a pair of skeletons throwing a fit on a tin roof. Foghorn Leghorn, philosopher. But no, Foggy always saw a Moran when he saw one. And, well, I see one. The heck with the setup. Let's just go right to it. You'll figure it out.
Welcome to the 700 Club. Mitt Romney is reaching out to evangelical voters. Saturday, he addressed more than 30,000 students and family members at Liberty University's graduation.
His opposition to gay marriage scored big points with his audience. Romney also sat down with CBN's Jennifer Wishon to talk about his message to Christians.
Jennifer Wishon?
It's become a key place presidential candidates come to woo Christian conservatives. Liberty University.
All right, now, all right, hold on. It's become a key place. Presidential candidates come to woo Christian conservatives? No. It's become a key place right-wing, fanatical, zealous, theocratic freaks hoping to be president come to woo conservatives. I personally think the jury is out on whether they're Christians, but that's me.
What do you say to some of your conservative critics who don't trust that you'll remain conservative? They fear that you'll move to the middle. What's your message to them?
Well, issue by issue, they have an opportunity to see my record when I was governor of Massachusetts. We were able to cut back on the size of government. Actually, we didn't just slow the rate of growth.
Those jobs you created,
we actually cut it. We pulled back on the spending of our state. I reduced taxes 19 times.
This line from his speech brought the crowd to its feet.
Marriage is a relationship between one man and one woman.
Unless you're my grandfather, who had a relationship between one man and lots of women. Just saying.
Regarding President Obama's recent revelation on his personal feelings on same-sex marriage, Tony Perkins, the president of the Family Research Council, says, quote, it doesn't need to be the hood ornament of your campaign, but it does need to be in the vehicle, and you need to talk about it. I know you did talk about it at Liberty's commencement. Is that something that you intend to continue talking about?
Now, this is just some general moranity from Willard. What we're waiting for here is for the past master, the real, you know, the pro to bring out the commentary. It's okay. It's worth the wait. Trust me.
Well, I think people of differing backgrounds have different issues that they find to be the most compelling and interesting. And so I'm asked about social issues as well as foreign policy issues and economic issues. And, of course, I'll describe my views on those issues to people that that have interest. You know, I'll do my very best to connect with the American people on the issues they care most about. What I speak about day to day, in some respect,
and whatever they care about, I'll claim I care about too, because I have no values, I have no morals, I have no ethics, I got nothing but the suit. Underneath, it's like it's a pair of skeletons throwing a fit. That's all.
Reflects what I'm being asked about, and so those issues, I think, by virtue of the president's change of view on this topic, has become more current today. How important it is to the people a few months from now, time will tell. But my positions are I think, out there for people to see, and hopefully I'll be able to attract.
Yeah, lots of them. Lots of positions. Lots of positions on any given issue. But, you know, that's one of those places where he doesn't lie directly. He just kind of lies casually or indirectly or obtusely or tangentially. Yeah.
The kind of support I need to be successful in November.
Romney's speech here at Liberty University was, in many ways, the biggest of his political...
Oh, her name is Jennifer Wishon, as in, if you wish on a star, and not John. Well, you know, goofy old Pat made it sound like Jennifer Witch Hunt, but yeah, what the hell.
Political career. He had the largest audience he's ever addressed as a candidate during a crucial time in his campaign. How do you plan to actively court evangelical voters and also energize them to get out the vote? Or do you think that you don't necessarily have to do anything special to make that happen?
I think I have to make a real effort to get every voter in this country. Those people who are inclined to my views on the issues of the day, whether they...
Whatever they may happen to be at any given time.
They are economic issues, foreign policy issues, social issues. I need to make sure they understand what my views are, encourage them to get involved in the process, because this president is taking the country in a very different direction than most people would like to see it go, and I need them to understand how we can get it back on track and how...
Did you happen to notice the polling data that came out today that said the majority of Americans are in favor of marriage equality? Did you notice? I noticed.
Well, if we work together, we can do that.
He's hoping any momentum gained from this stop can help propel him through the long, hot summer campaign season. Jennifer Wishon, CBN News,
here comes the fun.
Lynchburg, Virginia.
Well, it looks like the people who were worried about his Mormonism, at least that crowd is diminishing somewhat, and the question is, if they have two candidates, you don't have Jesus running against somebody else. You have Obama running against Romney.
There it is. Paragon of the obvious. Former liquor supply officer, Pat Robertson. Jesus is not on the ballot. Time for your medicine, Pat. I mean, this is the lose your freaking mind issue, I guess, of the day or the week or whatever. And you know, nobody is better at losing their mind than, you know, right wingers.
You've got to remember that these are just simple farmers. These are people of the land, you know. Morons.
Yeah, so let us go straightway then to a TV preacher out of San Diego, Jim Garlow. He showed up on one of the big religious TV network thingies. And of course, he's all head up about the homosexual agenda. Yeah. But it's more... Yeah. And we already know they cause volcanoes and earthquakes and floods. They make perfectly happily married heterosexual people just spontaneously divorce. They caused 9/11. Well, even with all of that out there, it's worse than we thought.
We have in our country two locomotives on the same train track coming at each other at a high rate of speed. And one is called religious liberty, which always any country that has religious liberty also has economic and political freedoms as well. Those three are a triumvirate, they run together. And another locomotive coming at it called the radical homosexual agenda. And they cannot both exist in the same nation at the same time.
On the same
wherever,
tracks.
Wherever, any place you have in Europe or any state where you have long-term so-called same-sex marriage, you also have three huge losses. And that's religious liberties, parental rights, and then basic fundamental freedoms. Now, I can back that up with 10,000 illustrations if we need it, but the bottom line is those three things are casualties at the redefinition of marriage. Pastors are silenced. We will lose our liberties. We'll be coerced and forced out of existence as the Church of Jesus Christ and forced underground. It's not about tolerance. It's about coercion and crushing and taking away our liberties and freedoms. As people speak out on this issue, we don't need to apologize for truth. Now, it may cost us dearly. We're coming into an era...
Well, they darn sure can't apologize for facts because they don't have any, but just say it.
Where it could cost us everything, yeah, including our lives.
Whoa! No, really? Two guys picking out a China pattern is going to cost us our lives. I don't know if it's because of zombies or earthquakes. You know, I read a piece by Matt Osborne, posts periodically over at the Horn website, Head On Radio Network on Facebook. Go and like it, why don't you? And he was talking about the whole writing about the marriage equity thing. No. He was writing about the right-wing assault on sustainable energy. That's what it was. Yeah. And he made the observation that, well, go read it. But I was just hit by one of those little lightning bolts out of the blue. You know, I was left to my own devices all weekend long, and after a while you start talking to yourself, the puppy, whatever. And I was hit out of the blue, but, and I said, you know, it was, I guess this is one of those days when I'm willing to gamble. Not that I got anything to gamble with, but a dollar here, a dollar there, you know, play the lottery, whatever. The other bet, by the way, I'm willing to bet a buck that in light of the fact that Willard Romney has said that he's looking for a boring white guy to be his vice president, you know where I'm going with this, right? Yeah. J-E-B. Be a real mess. B-U-S-H. Yeah, I can't think of anything that goes with H. No, Jeb Bush, boring white guy, vice president of the United States. I put money on that. So that's the one bet. The other bet that I'm willing to make was based on this thing that Matt Osborne was writing about, and the, you know, the social conservatives who that don't believe, you know, don't believe in wind power and solar, and they're all head up about marriage equality. Well, obviously, you just heard it. It's going to cause people to lose their lives, right? Yeah, they're going to lose their lives.
What? I'm not just talking to hear my head roar. Smart boy, got a mind like a steel trap, full of mice.
Yeah, they're going to lose their lives. Well, with those kind of extremes being bandied about, here's the other bet. I don't know how far out to push this, but and I kind of hate to whisper it into the universe's ear, but just for the sake of giving me a fighting chance, let's say between now and the presidential election, and we know that there are lurking little right-wing weirdos who listen to this program, so who knows who's going to pick up a meme and run with it. But just knowing right-wingers and teabaggers and the like the way that I do, I'm willing to bet something small, a dollar, if anybody wants to take it. I'm willing to bet that between now and the presidential election, some right-wing horse's rear end is finally going to break, you know, kind of the way kind of the way that I said that, and you know, it got done. I predicted it. It happened. You remember when Rick Santorum said, well, we know what Canada Obama was like. He was a anti-war, pro-government nig. And I'd been saying all along that the right wing was itching, I mean, that they were going to spontaneously combust if somebody didn't finally say that word. And so I'm willing to predict that between now and the election in November, some right-wing horse's rear end is going to finally refer to wind and solar as, are you ready for it? Write this down, wing nuts. Gay energy. Because they want to. You know they want to. They're just aching to. Just jot it down. Make a note. It sounds believable, doesn't it? It really does. But it is Moran Monday on the horn. And, here's a nomination for you. And, of course, in time, you will get your own opportunity to make your own nominations. That's what this is all about. When you're dealing with Morans, nobody ever really wins Moran Monday. But I guess we're just kind of trying to sort and rank them. A study has come out from the Guttmacher Institute. And I guess they wanted to know, in light of all of the ongoing right-wing assaults on a woman's ability to control the workings of her own body, the Guttmacher Institute queried 1,800 sexually active Americans who were between 18 and 29 years of age. So if you take these 3.5 years of Barack Obama and 8 years of George Bush, that's about 11 and a half years, that means that the people who responded to the question were between 6 and 17 at the beginning of the Bush administration, and the abstinence-only, snowflake baby, all of that silly right-wing, theocratic, religion-industrial complex crap. In other words, they were bathed in misinformation. Just washed down, plum soaked. So the Guttmacher Institute queried 1,800 sexually active Americans between the ages of 18 and 29 on just the very, very basics of what they know. And understand, this Moran Monday nomination is not for those people who answered the questions. It's for the people who promulgated the ignorance. They wanted to know basically what these 18 to 29 year olds knew about various forms of contraception. You know, condoms, the pill, diaphragms, IUDs. Are they still out there? I don't know. Sponges, the morning after pill, Plan B, those sorts of things. Well, here's the upshot. More than half, this is a quote from the executive summary, more than half of young men and 25% of young women got low scores on contraceptive knowledge. Just didn't know much of, never mind, don't know much about history, don't know much biology. Oh, wait, that does kind of, yeah. More than half of young men and a quarter of young women received low scores on contraceptive knowledge. Here's the one that'll just, 60% underestimated the effectiveness of oral contraceptives for women. Obviously, there is no oral contraceptive for men unless you count beer, and you really got to drink a lot of it before, right. Herewith is the conclusion of the study. Programs to increase young adults' knowledge about contraceptive methods and use are urgently needed. Given the demonstrated link between method knowledge and contraceptive behaviors, such programs may be useful in addressing risky behavior in this population. Now, who's the Moran nominee then? Well, this is easy. The abstinence-only movement. You remember, things like purity balls, where little girls pledge their abstinent virginal purity to their daddies. I know. Full body shiver. Weird. And the Bush administration, who for 8 years said, well, their only real way to keep from getting pregnant is to be absent. Abstinent. Something like that. Now, 69% of the people who took this survey, 69% of the women and almost half of the men, agreed with a statement saying that they were committed to avoiding pregnancy. At the same time, they just weren't sure if birth control, pregnancy control, as Malloy puts it correctly, pregnancy control, they weren't sure it really worked. Here's the fun part. This is the run screaming into the yard part. 40% of the respondents said that birth control doesn't matter. You know, I think about all, I'll tell you why in a minute, I think about all those women who struggled so hard. I think about I think about the personal risks taken in that led to Supreme Court decisions like Griswold versus Connecticut. I think of the unmitigated hell that women went through trying to get control of their bodies. I think of poor old Ronnie Reagan going to a drugstore and having to own up to purchasing a little latex thingy for his, you know, before he could seduce that little starlet. Remember the story from a few months back? That little starlet, virgin starlet, after a dinner of fried hamburgers in his Hollywood apartment. I think of all of that, and then I realize how effective the right wing, because this is always a theocratic issue. Pregnancy control is always a theocratic issue because there is no unreligious reason for objecting to a woman being able to have control over the workings of her own body. But back to that 40%. 40% of respondents answered that birth control does not matter because, and this is a quote, when it is your time to get pregnant, it will happen. And an angel of the Lord appeared unto her, and lo, she was sore and afraid. Oh, dear. 40% of 1,800, which is probably a fair, I'll leave it to the mathematical types, but it probably yielded a valid statistical sample that could be applied to America in general, because there's nothing in here that says that this survey was only taken in Jesus land. 40% of the 18 to 29 year olds surveyed said birth control doesn't matter because when it's your time to get pregnant, you'll get pregnant. This will come as quite a surprise to the large number of people who are badly desirous of having a baby but can't. I guess that just means that God doesn't want you to have one, right? And this is what happens when you dumb down the classroom. Because one of the central talking points of the theocratic right-wing religion industrial complex is that birth control can't be trusted. You might get pregnant anyway. The only way to not get pregnant is to just not do that filthy thing. Unless you're married one man to one woman. Right? More ends. Just more ends. And plenty of them all over the place this evening. But God, 40%? I mean, that's more than believe in any number of other questionably believable things. Holy mackerel. When it's your time to get pregnant, you'll get pregnant. Mind-boggling. Bill in Cleveland, by the way, dropping an email, he says, we have a whole city of morans. Cleveland opened a 2-bit casino today. A whole bunch of morans think the city is on its way to prosperity. Come on, Daddy needs a new pair of shoes. Oh, snake eyes. With regard to Willard connecting with voters, Dr. John noting, Willard couldn't connect a pair of Legos, much less with the majority of Americans who look at him and realize they're staring into the uncanny valley. That's good, uncanny valley. With regard to boring white guys, Kevin from Colorado Springs noting, Bob, I didn't know there was a more boring white guy than Mittens Romney. Now, his name is Willard, you know, like the rat. I, too, am disappointed. He says, you won't be on the air for a week and a half. He's shifting subjects, by the way. However, especially with the news about your daughter, it is more than ever true that a man must do and follow what he believes. And in your case, you aren't doing it just for yourself, but for all of us who are directly or indirectly affected by mountaintop removal. If John will accept my word that the check is in the mail, and I'm sure John will, I'll pony up the remaining $10 for his challenge. However, to all the others listening, we still have the Swedes challenge to beat, so please, everybody, chip in and let's support Bob's mountaintop saving. One moran is at a time, as it were. Let's leave the morans out of this, Kevin, but thank you. Thank you very much. Oh, he adds 720 is the answer to the question of the 40%. So the 1,800 people who got asked that question and answered that, you'll get pregnant when it's your time to, and birth control don't matter. That's 720. Ugh. I really appreciate it when you guys take care of the math stuff because, well, I'm not very good at math on the fly. But here it is, 9 minutes before the hour, and it's time to open up the floor for your nominations, which we shall do post-haste. We'll take a little break and come back. You are listening, of course, to America's listener-supported liberal voice. You're listening to The Horn, the Head On Radio Network, headonradionetwork.com, available in a wide variety of formats, as previously noted. And it's easy to reach the program. You know how, right? 877-443-2366. 877, the numeral 4, H-E-A-D-O-N. Or on your nickel, 304-658-3333. Email comes right easily to Bob Kincaid, B-O-B-K-I-N-C-A-I-D, at gmail.com. Right? Right. So, I'm up. We'll be back. I'm Bob.
Looking ahead means preparing for the future. The future of our children, our grandchildren, and our wild, wonderful West Virginia. Developing our renewable energy resources is the best way to ensure a clean, sustainable way of life and safe, good-paying jobs for generations to come. Here in the Mountain State, our most abundant energy resource is the wind. Our ridges and majestic mountain peaks shape and direct the wind like stones in a mountain stream. Coal River Mountain is the ideal place for developing wind power. The Coal River Mountain Wind Farm will provide us with a source of clean energy and good jobs forever. We have the power to make our future happen now. Be a part of the clean energy solution for West Virginia by visiting coalriverwind.org or call 304-854-2182. That's coalriverwind.org, 854-2182.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
Well, that works out nicely. Just a matter of seconds away from the top of the hour, seconds away from 7 o'clock here on the East Coast, the Eastern time zone of the U.S. And, thanks very much. Don's challenge has been met, and it is sincerely appreciated. Met and a little bit more, and that is indeed wonderful news. I've got a bunch, we have a bunch of bills to pay before I get out of here, so that there won't be any crises while I'm off in the middle of the sky somewhere. So, again, thank you very sincerely and very kindly. And with that, we will stop my blathering about and go forthwith to the phones. Hey, welcome to the program.
Locomotives, huh? That's kind of like crossing swords on the same track. Locomotives going on the same track. That's what they're worried about.
Yeah, freedom and liberty. They're just going to right there head on with the Homer sectional train.
It's going full on phallic with that.
Did you notice that why is it these the right wing religion industry types can't talk about the issues without committing great big howling Freudian slips?
Well, you know, Bob, I think there are a lot of people privately, in private, because I always think of, like, the right wing as the radical character, like WWF.
Yeah.
And they're probably looking at the game tape right now. It's like, I wish we could get this gay dollar. I wish we could get this gay dollar. But they can't, so they have to go even crazier.
That's a good dollar.
Yeah, I know. It's out there.
God bless Bill Hicks. Peace be upon him.
Right. And I think the whole issue with just everything coming up with the way the gay issue is framed, and the fact that people keep using the term gay marriage, and how Newsweek came with the most unsubliminal title ever, saying the first gay president with a gay halo.
Oy.
I
saw that and just had a little low rent hissy for a while.
And you know who my Moran nomination is, Bob?
Do tell.
My Moran nomination is what Rand Paul said.
Could this president be any gayer?
I mean, using it as a slur, using it as a negative connotation. Some of the greatest minds, some of the greatest artists, some of the greatest songwriters, some just the greatest people, period. Not that it matters.
Yeah, but, you know, Rand Paul, libertarian ophthalmologist, would far prefer, a good Archie comics. No, they got gay people in them now. How about a super... No. I don't know. He doesn't want to look at the Sistine ceiling because, you know, Michelangelo.
Right.
I mean, even if he was played by Charlton Heston in the movie.
You know, I tell you what, if there's anyone who has any gay club photos of Rand Paul and you're listening, please post them on Flickr immediately and toss the tweet link to Bob Kincaid, because I sense that there's a whole background.
Oh, there's no idea what was going on back when he was an aqua Buddhist.
I mean, there is no idea. I'm not even asked where the bong went, but you know that's a whole other story, Bob. It's a whole other story.
Dude, that's an excellent speedo. Here.
Well,
here.
To me, it is completely ridiculous the way we, you know, we should say marriage equality. All of the news media channels are saying gay marriage, all constant night and day.
Right, because they're trying to control something that is beyond their control.
And then the other thing is that the reason why they keep using gay marriage is because they know it stirs up the crazies. If you said marriage equality, they would look at their TV. Like,
oh, speaking of the crazies,
that sounds good to me.
Speaking of the crazies, did you happen to see that that video out of Lincoln, Nebraska, that went viral over the weekend? Isaac on Twitter turned me onto it, and it was one of those where you just sit there going, "No, no, come on, please, please." Put the Onion logo up there real quick. Otherwise, did you see that it was comments being taken before the city council of Lincoln, Nebraska about a non-discrimination resolution?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you're the pop culture correspondent. I just figured you'd already been all over this. Did you not see it?
No, I didn't see it.
Okay, so there's this, you know, there's this soft-spoken lady who's wearing a matching sort of shirt, blouse, top, something or other, and a matching sort of Gilligan kind of hat, and she talks about how, you know, well, Whitney Houston was found naked in a bathtub, and every time there's a naked person dead in a bathtub, there's a gay person who took her clothes, and she spelled out, you know, and those gays, they want to put the P-E-N-I-S in the anus. And she spelled out penis, but, you know,
yeah,
not so much with... Right.
Whitney Houston was killed by the Illuminati. I know it. I mean, we need to get Greg Palast right on there.
Yeah. And I mean, just this our college students need same-sex dorms so that they can't go gay like they need their own rooms so they can't go gay like Hillary did with her roommate after 4 years in college. Oh, I mean, just whoops, get her, don't mind me, use the net, Thorazine dart, whatever. But the funny thing, okay, so here's the funny part. It turns out the woman is, okay, it's strange calling it the funny part. It turns out, you know, if you watched it long enough, you went, well, you know, this woman's obviously not home. And it turns out she's not. She's diagnosed schizophrenic, won't take her meds, lives on her own, though, and goes down to... at one point, she went down to speak to the Lincoln, Nebraska City Council about the fact that there were Chinese transmissions coming through, mind control transmissions coming through the cell phones.
Right.
I once knew a guy who was convinced he was getting messages from a CIA satellite through his flashlight. I'm not kidding. So it turns out that she is badly mentally ill. And it's just sad and pathetic, and the city council lets her come in and, you know, talk to them about very serious things. But the part that grabbed me was when her brother was saying, you know, this is the way the mentally ill are in our country. They can't get the help they need. Made a valid point and said, you know, she's not just funny. But then he said this, David. I had to speak out because... it's not like she's some crazy conservative. And that's the quote. It's not like she's some crazy conservative.
Right.
This guy was actually trying to put distance between her and, say, your average teabagger who sounds just like her. She has, the way he described it, she has a damned good reason for being the way she is. She has a badly sick, damaged brain. But the point is, when you read the article, the point, David, is that conservative right-wingers sound just like her. I mean, I could... Oh, I'm not gonna. I'm not gonna dredge up the video and audio of her. But the thing is, I could play her talking about, you know, putting the penis in places, and then I could go back and what was this goober freak's name, Garlo, that I played a few minutes ago? It's a threat to our very lives. And you know what? It's kind of like that old Coke versus Pepsi test. You remember the Coke versus Pepsi challenge?
Right.
It's like that. You can't tell which one is ostensibly sane and which one is really, really not. Because they sound the same way. They cause volcanoes and earthquakes and fundamentalist terrorists. You fly into buildings. Well, that's the sane one over there, okay? Because we played Pat Robertson, and Pat Robertson blamed lesbians for the attacks on 9/11.
Yeah. You know, the one thing that I would say about the whole gay issue and anything regarding Whitney Houston, if anything.
Oh, that was just out for. I mean, that was just a pop fly to left field. I mean, it just was.
Right. Right. I mean, if anything, the gay culture always embraced Whitney Houston and played all her records constantly, and they helped her get a name, just like Madonna and so forth. You know, so I always think that it's funny how it's constantly we're demonizing people based on sexuality, and at the same time, you know, everywhere around you is an influence or inspiration of someone who's had that sexual preference, that you're, whether you're using their devices, whether you're a fan of their art or music, and yet at the same time, we're still in this demonization mode, and then to pretend like, oh, well, we're not demonizing. It's so ridiculous how far it's gone and how far it's gonna go before someone says. I do have to give props to what Clay Aiken said on Meet the Press next to Tony Perkins. I thought that was admirable.
This part I missed.
He came on and he said to Tony Perkins right in his face, not a fan. Let me put this right out. Not a fan of Clay Aiken's country music and not a fan of Tony Perkins, but what he said, he looked Tony Perkins right in the face and he said, you know, you're on the wrong side of this issue. And in 20 years, you're going to see.
Oh, and it's the, but see, now there's Tony Perkins. Norman? Yes, Mother Bates.
Yeah.
There's Tony Perkins sitting there. And did you notice that David Gregory, who, by the way, is headlining a right-wing AstroTurf group's little meeting, so much for journalistic ethics at NBC, but I guess he won't be suspended from the air like Keith Olbermann was, even though he's going out and shilling for Karl Rove again.
Right.
Dance, David, dance! You know, not you, him. Yeah. Remember MC Rove?
Yeah.
He's going to go out and just, you know, flush all of NBC's journalistic credibility right down the toilet, but, well, who cares?
Yeah.
He asked Tony Perkins about what Rand Paul said.
Yeah.
And here's the fun part. Tony Perkins ran away from that as fast as he could get. He
you know what's
funny? He refused to endorse Rand Paul talking about could President Obama be any gayer.
You know what's funny? You can substitute gayer. Can you imagine Rand Paul or someone saying, it couldn't get I didn't know he couldn't get any Jewier. Could you picture that? I mean, the fact that we allow...
Or blacker.
Yeah, blacker, anything. The fact that it's so right there and people are laughing at it is so revealing, the fact that the media... barely the media touches on something like this.
Well, you know, you mentioned Newsweek, though. You know why Newsweek had to come out with that cover? First gay president. Well, one, it's they're sort of back referencing what people said about Bill Clinton being the first black president.
Magazine's number one, I would say.
Well, not just that, but see, Time. Did you see Time's cover?
I think I think so, but
the pretty blonde lady wearing the cami tank top with one breast exposed and a kid about four years old nursing.
Yeah. People going crazy over that.
Yeah, this is cover wars, and of course the right wing lost, you know, the thin gray settlings that pass for brains that live between their ears over that. Look, there's boobies on the it's life threatening and.
You know, the funny thing about the whole, going back to the whole Tony Perkins and Clay Aiken thing, I was just thinking of the fact that Tony Perkins is probably wondering, how can I ask this guy out, Clay Aiken, because he has such a pretty voice. And
just mean, you know that. You're just mean.
Yeah, but the other thing I wanted to mention was, see, Bob, I run the tape back, and I called it. I told you, I said, Bob, eventually there's going to be very shortly a day where you're going to be asked to go overseas.
I think you did say that.
I did say that. And the reason why is, Bob, you can tell when you're doing these, when you're positioning yourself and you're going all over across the country, it's only a matter of time before they extend that hand, the bridge, and, you know, you're a spokesman now, in a way. You're a spokesman and activist.
Yeah, see, I was a little disturbed by that video, though. I mean, I know the guy who shot it. He's a friend of mine. I think he's a wonderful videographer.
Right.
But, you know, he only had so much to work with. You know how they capture the little still there for YouTube videos?
Right.
I'm my own worst critic. You know who I look like in that still from the video?
No. What?
I look like the Abominable Snowman from Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Well, you know, Bob.
It looks like Yukon Cornelius is just going to pop in from off-screen any second.
I'm gonna make another prediction. I mean, you keep making these appearances and stuff like that. It's only a matter of time before
somebody fronts me some plastic surgery. Is that what you're saying, David?
No. Before somebody, you know, you go the route of a documentary based on what you're doing.
No. I'll never sit still for that.
You'll never sit still for that.
No. Bless his heart, Kid A. Michael. Came here. It was election night, 2008. And I think we were on the air for, Jesus, like 12 hours or something. No, 8 hours. 8 hours. And to this day, Michael refers to it as the 8-hour video dump. And so, I don't know. I'm not that interesting.
Well, I can give you a suggestion if you go on the Autobahn, Bob, because I've been on there.
Okay.
Here's what I suggest. You need to play Kraftwerk's.
Oh yes, yeah. I'm loading it on the
See,
phone before I go.
Now, for people who haven't heard it, go listen to it. Go on YouTube and type in Kraftwerk Autobahn and check it out.
Now we're gonna have to play it. You know that.
Well, I mean, here's the other thing. If you want to really see something amazing, I don't know if you know. I'm sure you're familiar with Michael Winslow. He does an amazing sound impression scenario of sound effects based on the Autobahn being in Germany. If you look it up on YouTube, I'll send you the clip. I mean, it's amazing because you picture yourself right there with everything going on. Even the music, Bob. So he does the whole Kraftwerk thing. He has this point where he says, and I was in a hotel room, because he sort of talks like that. I was in a hotel room, and right next to me was a dance club called the Metropolis. And going on was the sound of doop, 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 doop. And you hear all the bass effects and just everything, like all the little noises, because you know how great Michael Winslow is at doing that. But, yeah, he has a great routine on the whole European Autobahn experience.
Well, if I can get the confounded thing to load, we'll have a clip of it. Listen, but in the meantime, I've changed courses. We are going to play that little game after all. We're going to play. Now, it's already spoiled because you know who's who. But really, just compare the two. Just for the fun of it, just pretend that we haven't already done this. And I don't know, blindfold yourself or take a big shot of mezcal and eat the worm, whatever.
Right.
But, okay, so who's crazy? Now we'll just advance this a little bit. Yeah, here we go. And
Now, it may cost us dearly. We're coming into an era where it could cost us everything,
yeah,
including our lives.
Okay, so we've got that, right?
Yeah.
All right. Here's Lady in the Hat from Lincoln, Nebraska.
I'm Jane Scribota. Winter Wipeout TV show have broken bones and manslaughter every minute. Winter Wipeout show is produced in Holland by gays, bis, and orgiers. Why do gays like to see people perishing? Penis goes into the anus to rupture intestines. More a man does this, more likely he'll be a fatality or a homicider.
A homicider?
Yeah, a homicider.
Meanwhile, the dude sitting in the seat behind her is the whole reason for the video. Because, I mentioned on Twitter, you're a Bugs Bunny fan, right, David?
Right.
Okay, so he's got this little notepad in his hand, and I expected just any minute he was going to hold it up, and it was going to have a screw and a ball next to it, just like Bugs. If you watch the whole video, here we are talking, dancing about architecture. Guy never says anything, but is just coming unstuck. I mean, he's got individual molecules that are letting go of each other inside him, listening to this lady. And I mean, you tell me. Which one's the mentally ill person, and which one is the First Amendment protected purveyor of the right wing religion industrial complex? If you didn't know, could you tell?
I'd have to say equal, like the fake sugar.
There. Yeah.
I mean, I.
And the whole thing is just Splenda.
There you go. It definitely, what you just played definitely was a NutraSweet. There definitely is a big disconnect when it comes to gay issues. I was listening to, how they're framing this, how they're saying, we don't really have, this is what the conservatives, I mean, they're marching fast on this. They're saying, well, we don't really have any hatred toward homosexuals and gay. This is more just of a moral issue, and the fact that they have all the churches lined up, and just all the ads that are going to come in. I think that's what a lot of people don't understand. A lot of the Democrats.
And there's a fundamental point as well that I think is being lost in all this. But hang on just a second. I had to do that to you. I'm just sorry.
Yeah. Well, get that Porsche revved up. That's what I say.
Yeah. I don't want nothing adventurous. I just backseat.
And the other thing is that guy's right. You need to do 5 shows a night and video logs of your trip in Europe while you're running. Just take an iPhone out and just go stream of conscious Bob, and I guarantee it's going to get you.
Oh, like this isn't stream of consciousness enough?
So every single day you're going to be someplace else speaking, huh?
No, not quite. It's very hairy at the front end, and then there's a few days, and then Deutsche Bahn.
But you get to spend like a few hours at some locations, I assume, where you can just like glance and visit some architecture. Is that possible?
Paris is just done. I fly into Paris.
Wow.
Have 2 speaking engagements in Paris, immediately get on a train for Frankfurt, speak in Frankfurt the next day, and then there's a little downtime to wander around Germany.
Well, the cool thing is you get to go on the train.
Well, yes. Absolutely.
No chance of any audio podcasts while you're on the
train.
Well,
no, you know what? Who knows? Maybe there's wireless. There's no way of telling. But, one of the things that I'm excited to find out is whether or not European passenger trains have to get off on a siding for 2 hours in Indiana to let a coal train pass. Oh, wait, Indiana. So they get off for 2 hours in Schleswig-Holstein or something to let a coal train pass. You know, like my Amtrak train to Chicago had to.
Right.
Or maybe whether the European rail cars, when they cross a seam in the pavement, will literally bottom out the springs and throw me out of my second-tier bunk into the lee cloth, where I would otherwise have broken my, scrawny neck. Okay,
I mean,
it's not so scrawny.
It's been a long time before they've seen someone from Appalachia speaking about these issues at these
companies. I would wager that in the case of a couple of these, the applicable term would be never.
So I mean, it's better late than never. That's the way to look at it.
Oh, without a doubt, I'm thrilled, pleased, and honored to be able to do this. Oh, we have the question. By the way, Michael is saying, Bob, I say 8-hour video dump with love. Don't think that footage has been lost. Whether it's a documentary or a mini-documentary, it will surface. I promise you that, says Michael. Oh, great, Michael. One more thing for me to worry about tonight. He also adds, this is another one of those little things we whisper into the universe's ear, David, to our eternal detriment, shame, or perhaps glee. P-E-N-I-S in the anus, says Michael. How long till that gets an Electronica remix?
That's a good one.
That's going to get songified in a hurry if it hasn't been already.
That's definitely good. And here's the other question. How long before you yourself, you start being the subject on World News Daily or Newsmax? I mean, with all these appearances, Bob, you're going worldwide. I mean...
No, it's not time to queue up. No, it is definitely not time to queue up ZZ Top yet.
but do you think? But do you see that as a possibility now happening? Because people in the conservative side see you as more and more as a threat.
Oh, the conservative side doesn't even know I exist, except for the few little weirdo lurkers we have out there.
Right. But what I mean is when you start doing these. When you start going from conference to conference to conference, don't you think like it's only a matter of time before these conservative sites like Free Republic and so forth?
I don't know. Maybe it's only a matter of time till the coal industry tries to blow me up again.
Wow.
I mean, that's really the way they operate. Subtle, they're not.
I didn't want to go there.
Huh?
I said I didn't want to go there.
Well, but I mean, it's kind of hard to avoid. Now you keep queuing up music here, David. We got to do something about it.
Oh man!
Here we go. I mean, you can't say stuff like this without me. Here we go.
Right.
Well, I was rolling down the road in some cold blue steel. I had a blues man on the back and a beautician out the wheel.
Yeah.
We're going downtown in the middle of the night. We're laughing and I'm joking and we're feeling all right. Oh, I bet I made.
Yeah, I couldn't resist that. I'm sorry.
So you're going to be gone for a
long time.
The rundown again, just in case people are.
I leave Wednesday morning.
Okay.
Ferg and I are going out to Wisconsin for the Fightin' Bob Fest North. And Horn listeners in and around the area, I highly encourage to come out because with me or without me, that's going to be a heck of a great gathering. The whole Fightin' Bob experience is just amazing, and I'm really, really thrilled to have been invited.
I take it the Sage of Wisconsin is going to be there as well.
The what?
The Sage of Wisconsin is going to be there as well.
Yes, absolutely.
That's good. It's good to see that kind of exposure on that. So when you come back, Bob, though, I do have something.
Yeah, so anyway, I come back on Sunday, then I get on a plane on Monday, and I'm gone again, and I'm not back until June the 1st.
When you come back on June 1st, I do have something that is going to keep you in awe, and it is music related, and you will be blown away, Bob. When I do play it and when I tell you what it is, you'll just be startled.
Awesome. I love a surprise. You know that.
Yeah. And also, I wanted to ask, just real quickly, Game of Thrones, did it show up yet?
Oh, yes.
All right, good.
And I put it into Agnes's hands, and you would have thought that I had just, I don't know, handed her a piece of platinum jewelry or something. She was so stoked. This weekend, you know, I've been a bachelor, and this weekend she and the kids went over to my daughter's house.
Yeah.
Game of Thrones went with her.
That's great. That's great to hear. I hope she enjoys it thoroughly. And you know, I think Game of Thrones owes us some royalties, for God's sakes. Holy cow! They need to fly. They need to fly us both over there at the set location, Bob.
Oh yes, let's do go on the shoot.
DVD sales. I mean, I got to put myself in there. You know.
Who could blame you? Who could blame you, David? This has been a wonderful conversation, my friend, and I look forward to talking to you when I get back.
All right, Bob. You too.
Take care. Bye now. David's queuing up some awesome music there. Autobomb, ZZ Top, amazing. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob.
Hey, Tracy.
It's your friendly neighborhood brain donor.
Absolutely, my friendly neighborhood L.A. caddy.
Yes, 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 and I see you got my post-it. I'm getting my money back today.
Yeah, I saw that. That's amazing. You won. Our side won one.
What? Yes, the little guy won. For, you know, in the same day, to find out what on one day that you're having brain surgery, and I'm dealing okay with that because I'm like, okay, I got a little change in the bank, and it's only going to cost me about $1,200. I'm going to be fine. I'm going to be just working my ass off until the surgery in August. I'm going to be good. And then I get home and get an email from my bank saying, yeah, bitch.
We took all your money.
We just took all of your money and left you on penniless on a Friday with, I had $15 to my name.
And you were all set to kind of self-medicate your way through the weekend, kind of getting your head around having your head worked on, right?
And I'm like, you know what? I am not going to give up. I still got up. I went to the gym. I spent a wonderful day with my son. I saw The Avengers the second time. For him was the first time. Have you seen it yet? Do they have movie theaters where you live?
Stop that. Yes, they do, but I can't afford them, and we wait till it comes out on video.
Yeah, well, hey, I understand that completely.
But that is kind of a big screen extravaganza, isn't it?
Oh, dude, seriously? I mean, even if you don't like superhero movies, you love The Avengers, and I know you like superhero movies because you're a freak like me.
Well, I do. I admit that I do. I enjoyed the X-Men, and you know what? If you promise not to tell anybody, I love Transformers. I just did, especially the first one.
I didn't like the second one all that much, but the third one rocked too, you know.
I haven't gotten to the third one yet.
Really? Oh, yeah. The third one, The Dark Side of the Moon or whatever it was, yeah. I mean, how can you go wrong when you have Leonard Nimoy voicing one of the robots, one of the Transformers?
Well, yeah, I mean, at that point in time, you just spike the football in the end zone and he'll score.
He shoots and he scores. I mean, you got Leonard freaking Nimoy, dude, seriously. But, yeah, hear stuff talking about the craziness. You know, can you nominate a magazine for a moron for Newsweek saying, you know, our first game?
Well, I have no objection to nominating Newsweek, but based on the furor over the breastfeeding mother with the preschooler, I think I really don't think we're doing justice unless we nominate Newsweek and Time together.
Yeah, because I saw the story over the weekend. And it's called shared parent. I forget what it's called. And basically, they sleep in the same bed, and they're with each other all the time. And creepy. That's just.
Well, the idea that they had to sort of back reference the Bill Clinton first black president thing.
Yeah, I'm like, really, Bill, the first.
Yeah, that didn't play too well with me either. But
no.
So they can't let Obama, they can't let President Obama be the first black president. They've got to make him the first gay president.
Gay president. Mm-hmm.
It's not a slur, at least not to me, and not to like normal decent human beings. It's just dumb, Tracy. It is just dumb. It's moron. Okay, it is. No, you're absolutely right. No, they get a standalone nomination. It's just moron.
What I call SOS, it's a SOS moment. Stuck on stupid.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just like, really, guys? When I see.
Oh, wouldn't you love to have been a fly on the wall in the editorial board meeting and cover art department? What do you got? I thought we'd put a halo on the president and call him the first gay president.
Oh, yeah.
Love it!
Love it! And then I feel sorry for that one or two gay editors that are in the room. who I probably haven't even come out yet, I'd have to sit there and listen to the bullshit.
You scored with that one. That's so true.
It's like, now they got to sit there and go, really? And, of course, if they say anything, it's like, okay, well, you know, it'll cost them more. You know, like this fool listens, it'll cost, you know, it's going to cost us our lives.
Yeah, and you know, it's also historically ignorant as well, Tracy, because as Jim pointed out, there is every reason to believe that America has already had a gay president.
Or two.
Well, at least one, by the name of James Buchanan.
Oh, Buchanan? Okay. I was hearing that it was Lincoln, but, you know.
Well, no, Lincoln did sleep with guys, but they say that it was entirely chaste and guys slept with guys all the time back then.
Okay.
And you know, I'm willing to historically go with that because Lincoln? Really? You know, on the worst night of your life, Lincoln?
He has to be gay. He's, you know, he's free to say.
careful now. You're getting over into some of that questionable logic, Tracy.
Yeah, you know, he wasn't just emancipating black folks.
Oh, jeez.
He was masturbating the gays, too.
Well, I reckon probably there was a subset within the... Yeah.
You know, I mean, come on. It's just... I look at this, and when I see this, it just turtles me back to that big, the big hoopla when this young man, you know, this young lady at American University was walking across, you know, getting her degree, and her boyfriend, you know, went up on the stage and proposed to her and said yes. And I thought to myself, gee, I wonder if too bad, I'm pretty sure there's a bunch of Jew and gay students in that, you know, at that graduation who were sitting there thinking, Jesus, my boyfriend or my significant other or girlfriend could never do that.
I
walked across the stage and they walked up on the stage to propose to me. They could not do that.
Although I guess technically in D.C., where American University is, they can do that now.
They can do that because...
Which I like, which, you know, I think that's a really, really solid point. You know, what is wrong, you know, apart from insane people who think, well, like those two clips I played, what is wrong with two people getting to make a public and legal and binding manifestation of their regard for one another?
Hell, inquiring minds want to know. Because you know what? I go through this, you know, and okay, you're going to have to do the cringe thing. Remember I talked to you about my mother moved down south and then she became an evangelical.
Yes.
Did I tell you where she went to school?
No.
Liberty University.
Cringe. And that's a private school, and they don't. Jesus doesn't let you go to Liberty for free.
No.
And neither, I'll add, did Jerry Falwell.
No. So she just got her master's from there. Now she's working on her BSN from there, and I'm very proud of her accomplishment. Liberty University. I don't think I have to say anything else.
Oh, I agree. Are you going through a tunnel, Tracy? Because we're losing you.
Can you hear me now?
Okay, you're back.
Okay. Hey, I will be on your side of the country in June, as a matter of fact.
Will you really? Where are you going?
I'm going to Atlanta.
Well, that's kind of our side of the country, you know, 700 miles away, but yeah.
Your side of the country, this thing, you know, you're part of it. I'm going to be there from the 14th. Of June to the 19th of June in the worst part of the year, but you know.
Oh no, August.
August, that's right. August sucks. That's the ugly time. of the year because I've been there.
But depending on the circumstances, there's still every chance in the world you're going to get to feel some air you can wear, you know.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I'm looking forward to it because all my siblings are going to be there, even though they get on, you know, they tap dance on my nerves, but. With spike chills, but hey, you know.
Yeah, grit your teeth. You know, it'll be okay.
The good news is I'm getting a hotel.
Yeah, and the other good news is while they don't have cool food, maybe, I don't know, maybe they do. I was going to say they don't have cool food trucks that serve shrimp tacos. There is some mighty fine eating to be had in that city.
I'm looking forward to that.
No trip to Atlanta is complete without a trip to the Varsity.
Oh, I've seen that. Isn't that over by, isn't that like in downtown over by?
Yeah, it's on North Avenue over by Georgia Tech.
Yeah, I saw that when we...
World's largest drive-in restaurant. And they got their own language for what you want and how you want it. But trust me, you want rings, an all-the-way dog walking, and a jumbo F.O.
Okay.
A jumbo F.O. is a frosted orange milkshake. Their onion rings they do themselves every day. And the all-the-way dog walking is a chili dog with everything on it to go.
Well, see, I don't think any of that's on Weight Watchers, but that's okay.
You'll fall off for a day or two.
Yeah, I'm going to fall. I mean, you know, but it's just crazy. I think about, you know, the food and stuff and, you know, seeing my family. And I just think, you know, back to the whole gay thing and, the gay. What if, okay, it's just plain old marriage equality. And I am so, so very proud of our president. Because I know he wrestled with that. I know it was like he woke up and said, okay, enough, I'm just going to do this. I know he wrestled with that.
Oh, no, haven't you read Ross Douthat, or however you pronounce his name, over to the New York Times, Tracy? It was a cynical political move to shift people's attention away from the dismal economy where the unemployment numbers are actually dropping.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
You remember Dana Perineal?
Yeah.
She was a spokes creep for the W.
I'm sorry.
What have I done now?
No, you just said spokes creep. I just think that's funny.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, you know, it is, but she was.
She said, all of these things the campaign has come up with on the Democrat side have lasted sometimes 48 hours, sometimes a full 2 weeks. You think of the contraception controversy. But then there's another one on top of the other. But still, the most important thing to every voter is the economy. So they might, on the Democrat side, they might win the little skirmishes, but what you want to win is the war. A Repiglican cannot talk about a political campaign without bringing an eliminationist rhetoric like war. B, the contraception controversy, so-called, you know, the assault on women's bodies, was started by the Repiglicans, not some nefarious 11-dimensional chess player inside the Obama campaign.
No.
And while it's creepy and there's a lot of creepy stuff still floating around out there, like, some investment banker at working for Jamie Dimon spinning the roulette wheel and going, I'll put it all on red. No, black.
No,
sorry, sir.
$2 billion.
And there goes $2 billion.
Gone. It's like, you know, it's one of those things, you know, they're trying to, my new favorite person, my new personal hero, Elizabeth Warren.
Calling for Jamie Dimon to quit the Fed.
Bringing back the Glass-Steagall Act. Because, you know, we learned our lesson back in the Depression. Come on, stupid. That, you know, maybe we should have some regulations because obviously these people don't know how to act with our money. And then, you know, how many years later after the Depression, 60-some-odd years later, oh, they've learned. They're okay. We don't have to regulate them anymore.
Because, you know, we can trust them to just do great things by
themselves. Do the right thing. Well, it's like with the whole thing with them taking the money out of my checking account. You know, no, I mean, thank God, you know, I live in a state you know, they call California what you want, but we do have consumer protections in this state. Thank God. Because, like I said, when I called, I didn't even know there was a such a thing as a taxpayer advocate. I called, I told them what the situation was. They're like, oh, no problem. You know, we'll have your money back to you sometime before they get into business today. That was it.
Sweet.
I can't even imagine if I lived in another...
Oh, wait. You're describing something that right-wingers don't believe exists. You realize that, right Tracy? You are describing... responsive government.
Yes. Because when I explained the situation, I'm like, look.
But that's one of them regulatory agencies that shouldn't exist.
Right.
Because they wouldn't steal your money if you didn't deserve to have it took. Right.
Exactly. And thank God there is such a thing in California, you know, because my goodness. I mean, they took... You left me with absolutely no money. And, of course, I had outstanding bills, outstanding payments that were about to hit the bank today that I paid because, you know, I'm a responsible person at times. Not all the time, but for the most part, I'm responsible. And I pay when I have money, I pay my bills. Just like most responsible people do when they have the money to do so. Because for a long time, I didn't have the money to pay my bills. And now I do. And so when I'm setting up payments and doing this and getting, you know, slowly climbing my way out of debt, and then these bastards take my money with no warning, you know, and tell me that I owe them $6,000 when they owe me a refund. That's the funny part. And that's what I told the guy. He's like, well, what was your filing status back in 97, 98? Were you single? I'm like, single head of household. My son's still alive. But I had a dependent. And he's like, oh, no, then you don't owe us anything. Now, could you imagine if I lived somewhere? I mean, I don't know. I just, like you said,
I mean, you know, make that call to Montgomery, Alabama, or Jackson, Mississippi. Well, we just recalculated that. And you know what? We're going to keep what we took, and we decided you owe us some more.
Right. I think of what happened to my mother, because when she, years ago, my stepfather was in jail when he was married to somebody else, and while he's in jail, she got pregnant. And she put his name on the birth certificate. And the state of Mississippi went after my stepfather for child support when it wasn't even his kid, and that my stepfather wasn't working at the time, as most he wasn't ever really. But here's the deal. My mother was getting a huge income tax refund. No, she wasn't. They took it. Because his name was on the tax return, even though he didn't even work that year. And it was the state of Mississippi. And my mother tried and tried to get it. We're talking like $15,000 in 1990s money.
Yeah, that's Jed Clampett walking around money.
Yeah, that's pocket money. That's what they used to call back in the day, pen money.
Mm-hmm.
And see, but like you know, fortunately, I live in California, and I have recourse. But oh my goodness! And if we didn't have, you know, and every time I think about these fools trying to talk about we don't need regulatory committees and shit like that, I'm like, really? We don't need watchdogs to keep the people in line, to keep these government agencies in line. I mean, hell, I know the state of California is broke. As a matter of fact, they said on the news that the deficit is twice as much as they thought it was. I'm like, holy shit. But, you know, you can't balance the deficit on my little money. You cannot. You can't.
No, and by the way, Tracy, before we go, I do have to give you a vote. I trust that you heard the two audio clips earlier.
Yes.
If you were blindfolded and handed a glass of either Pepsi or Coke, could you tell which one of those audio clips was the person who was dangerously psychotic? I'm sorry, you broke up there. Was that a yes or a no?
No, I could not.
Okay, just looking for a little validation there. Tracy, it's good to hear from you, and I hope we'll talk again soon. And
happy travels, happy all this, and we'll We'll look for you back on June 3rd.
All right, keep them square out on the freeway, will you?
Always, always my love, always my dear. Bye bye.
Take care, Tracy. Bye now. From the highways and byways of Southern California, that's our pal Tracy, the lady cab driver. Hey, welcome to the program.
Brother Bob.
Cossack, what's happening?
How you doing?
A little harried, a little worried, but you know what? Happy to be here.
You'll enjoy Berlin.
I hope to. I have a feeling.
Maybe you will.
Well.
Oh. I got a couple of points.
Okay.
Bring up. I've never been much for marriage in the normal sense of the word. I'll get back to that momentarily. But you do realize you're a historian. You know what I'm talking about. Marriage, as we know it, for the masses, is something of very recent date in terms of human history.
The 15th or 16th century, Cossack, marriage was considered to be too base to be performed in a consecrated church?
Well, not only that, but Western marriage has always been a property relationship.
Well, sure, go all the way back into the Bible and it's a property transfer. But, you know, the real laugher, the one that just was a real side splitter for me this weekend was Willard Romney keeping a straight face while looking at the assembled mouth-breathing, knuckle-walking, snake-handling, floor-rolling, strychnine-swigging faithful of Jerry Falwell University and declaring that marriage is between one man and one woman when his grandfather had a multitude of wives.
Correct.
I mean, how do they even know? He knows who his grandfather was ostensibly, but does he know who grandma was?
Exactly. And it's like, you know, if you think about it, like I said, Western marriage has been a property relationship. In other words, people didn't really start getting married as a normal course of events until there was something of property to be maintained one way or another.
Yeah, and well, just as a matter of historical proving your point, one of the a very early piece of legislation passed by the brand new state of West Virginia, Cossack, was something called the Married Women's Property Act. Because until passage of that law, married women could not own their own property, real or personal.
Correct.
Everything was deemed to be owned by the woman's, well, you know, owner, her husband.
Mm-hmm.
Just let that rattle around for a little bit, and we're talking about, what, 1865?
Right.
150 years ago?
Well, if you think about it, you had a whole hell of a lot more deaths being recorded. You know, go back to England and the late 17th and early 18th century. There are a whole hell of a lot more deaths that are recorded than there are marriages. Marriage became a commonly accepted right when you had property to be passed off or divided amongst your children, if you will.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's the whole thing. Western marriage is
Just another local example, it was not until fairly recently, like within the last 30, 40 years maybe 50 tops, you know what intestate succession is, right?
Correct.
That's what happens. That's the way that the state designates who will get your property if you die without a will.
Correct.
And up until fairly recently in this state, it said that the widow would get one-third and the children would split two-thirds. So if you had two kids, it was one-third, one-third, one-third. If you had five kids, it was one-third, and then two-thirds split among five people. If you had one kid, it was one-third to the widow and two-thirds to the kid. That was only changed in the last couple of decades, maybe three, to the point where the widow gets half of the intestate estate and the kids split the other half. Whoa. Yeah, 20th century took to get to there.
Yeah. But, you know, that's the whole thing that also, if you think about it, Western marriage has always had a very serious patriarchal tinge to it. Master of the home, so forth. You know where that all came from, by the way, Bob?
No, where?
Master of the home. Okay. Back in the Middle Ages, when you had, you know, during feudalism, the knight had to leave his castle, and the wife then became the second in command. She was the dame of the realm.
Right.
You know, which was a lot of power at the time, you know. Especially since hubby was gone sometimes for years on end, she had to run the estate and make sure it ran well. Yeah. We tend to forget that women actually had and have a lot of power in society of necessity. You know, they are, you know, that was the whole thing about being the domestic goddess. A lot of women enjoy having an incompetent boob hanging around so they can show that they are more acquitted and equipped to take care of these things than he is.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, there's a lot of truth to the stereotype. I mean, if you think about it...
Well, stereotypes get to be stereotypes because they had a lot of... What? There were a million examples of that, sadly.
Exactly. I mean, if you think about it, with all the imagery that people have been bringing up about Wall Street and the Wild West and so forth, I was thinking, if you think about it, the Wild West, which most men identify with, is that portion of a town's history before most women who were in the town were painted ladies or saloon owners.
Right. And had said saloon owner married, she would have lost her property to her husband.
Correct.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
And so you're exactly right. All these shenanigans and hand-wringing and pearl-clutching over the sanctity of marriage? You know, come on. Save it for the credulous idiots who buy Newsweeks with the first gay president headlines, right?
Yeah, I mean, think about it. Even as a kid, Bob, like I said, I never bought into the standard idea of marriage just because I had seen how well that model worked. And even as a kid, I had always preferred the idea of a contractual marriage. I mean, have whatever church ceremony you will have. But for the marriage itself, it should be contractual. You should sit down You know, you have to know exactly what everybody's going to do if this breaks up. It's just like a corporation. You know, if there's a problem, if there's a squabble at the top, how are we going to divide things? Who takes care of the kids? How much is the sport going to be? You know. These things should
right, and these things have to be large. These things largely have to be sorted out in the courts. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, and what we should have is contractual marriage. You hash all this out before you get involved, so that everybody knows what's going to happen. You know, the wife gets custody of the kids with, you know. Rotating weekends at daddy's, you know, whatever. But that it's worked out in advance so you don't have people trying to kill each other. Because unfortunately, I've worked for several divorce attorneys, and these things can get extraordinarily ugly. You know, divorces can be hell on everybody.
Oh, without a doubt.
Yeah. And I literally have seen near homicides over property. It's ridiculous.
Oh, well, there's a scene in... Oh, what is it? When Harry Met Sally.
Mm-hmm.
Where, what's his name? First name's Bruno. Can't remember his last name. He's died a few years back. He was also in The Godfather. Or Godfather 2.
Right.
But he and another character are getting married, and Billy Crystal says to him, listen, do me a favor. Write down your names on everything, because in a couple of years, You're gonna be fighting to the death over who gets that god awful wagon wheel coffee table.
Exactly.
And there's a hell of a lot of truth in it. No, the fact of the matter is, the sanctity that the right wing religion industrial complex wants to inject into marriage is something that is as imaginary as most of their religions, and it's just that simple. Cossack, I got to roll along, but it's awful good to hear from you, brother.
All right, Bob, you take care. Have a very good time on your trip.
I'm going to try. Mainly, I just want to I want to get all the words in the right order.
That would help.
Yeah. All right, take care, Cossack.
You too, Bob.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
And onward. Hey, welcome to the program. Anybody? Okay. So that wipes out all the blinking lights. How about that? And an hour to go. Listen, let's get something clear about marriage, if we could, please. And again, I refer to Matt Osborne, who pointed out that all of this talk about marriage versus civil unions versus yada, 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 yada is mainly smoke. And I thought this for a long time because and it could have, it frankly could have been proven in the courts. Because there is a profound difference between the right to get married within the meaning of, because marriage, like wills, like driver's licenses, like fishing licenses, like hunting licenses, marriage license, are controlled not by the church. Let's get abundantly clear on that just once and for freaking all, okay? The question of who may be married is a question of application of the law of the several states and territories. Let's start with that. By extension, the First Amendment states clearly that government shall pass no law infringing upon the free religion or the free exercise thereof. Not direct quote, but close enough for government work. The government of the United States could never say, for instance, to the Roman Catholic Church, you're going to have to let a couple of guys who've gotten monogrammed towels and picked out a China pattern, Roman Catholic Church, you're going to have to give them a wedding ceremony inside one of your dusty, musty, stinky old cathedrals. The government could never do that. Any more than it could say, Baptist Church? Here's Linda and Barbara, and they want to get married, and Baptist Church, we're going to make you have their wedding for them. With the sickly sweet Baptist wedding punch with the melting lump of rainbow sherbet in the middle and probably long on the ginger ale and certainly no champagne anywhere to be found. Never ever. There's not a court in this country that would say, well, okay, sure. Case in point. Yeah, Marty, thank you. Bruno Kirby, also in City Slickers. You're right. Case in point, though. We go now to the Commonwealth of Kentucky, as opposed to the free state of Louisville, where our buddy Corey lives. Lexington, Kentucky, to be particular, and a Catholic high school. It's prom season, you know. Big deal for high school kids, prom. Bigger deal for girls than guys. If there's any justice in the world, the guy will be permitted to wear a simple black tuxedo and not expected to match or coordinate with his date, but I've learned the hard way that that's a very serious thing. No, you have to match. But it was prom night in Lexington, Kentucky at a Roman Catholic high school. There were two individuals, 18-year-old Hope Decker and her girlfriend, Tiffany Wright. The school in question is Lexington Catholic High School. And Tiffany and Hope declared that they were going together to the Lexington Catholic High School prom as dates. And the Lexington Catholic High School's the head priest or monsignor or the exalted noble 32nd degree pish posh or whatever he is said, oh no, you're not. Jesus doesn't like you lesbians. We have principles here at Lexington Catholic High School, and that's principles with an L-E, not me, principal with an A-L. So these two young women and a number of their friends went ahead and dressed up in their prom finery and held their own prom outside the school. Because, you know, the Roman Catholic Church is a bunch of sickening bigots who don't like the homos and the lesbians. Because, you know, everybody knows that Jesus was engaged in a sacramental holy marriage but with one man and one woman, but he just wandered around with 12 guys all the time. Oh, wait a minute. The 12 guys part, that he did. The married part, no. Holy Mother Church will swear on a stack of Bibles that he was, oh, no, he wasn't married. So far, got it? Well, the fact of the matter is, Kentucky Equality is a gay advocacy group. And they said they wouldn't get involved in the incident unless they were requested. What I found more interesting is there's no mention in here of the American Civil Liberties Union, because guess what? I sincerely doubt the American Civil Liberties Union would touch this case, because it is the right under the First Amendment to the Constitution of the United States for this school run by the church to be as bigoted and homophobic as it wants to. And nobody can do anything different. Not a judge anywhere in the Commonwealth of Kentucky or anywhere else that would have compelled that school to admit these two young women who liked each other enough to be each other's prom date into the Holy Roman prom. The same thing with marriage. There is no way for the government to compel any religion whatsoever to conduct a marriage for two gay folks, two lesbians, what have you. It's impossible. It's strictly off limits by virtue of the First Amendment. You with me so far? I know you are. I mean, a few years back, on our 10th wedding anniversary, Agnes and I had considered reconsecrating our vows. You know, you do that kind of thing. And because my family has gone to the same church for way over 100 years, and because I've got a cousin who is a preacher, we thought it would be polite to ask them. Now, Agnes would not blush if I told you this. She's told you herself. Agnes was married once before. Me? Never. Close? No cigar. Well, word filtered back to us, Agnes and me, that no, we could not reconsecrate our vows at the church my family's attended for over 100 years. And no, my cousin would not perform the rites because he and they did not condone divorce. Did Agnes and I run off and sue? Nope. No, instead, well, we did nothing, really. Shame on me, I can't remember what we did for our 10th anniversary. I think I tried to do something nice, but maybe I completely screwed up. It's before we were on the air. That would have been May 1st, 1993, or 2003. I don't know what I was doing. I think I was telemarketing. But the church could not have been compelled to do so. Never mind that it's stupid, antediluvian, and bigoted to say, oh, no, you harlot, you were married once before. Go figure. Now, the opposite side of that coin is that you can do church ceremonies of weddings until hell freezes over, and unless the license has been granted by the state, i.e. the county, and filed therewith and properly signed and sealed with tax tag, title, and dealer prep, you ain't really married. It is the state's declaration of the marriage that makes it a marriage. It's the state's declaration and the granting of the license that kicks in all of those things that pertain to married couples. Tax deductions, write-offs, this, that, the other thing. And I said earlier that this could have been settled a long time ago with a properly filed case. And that case would have been, for instance, the United Churches of Christ don't discriminate against people based on sexual orientation. United Churches of Christ could have married a pair of women or a pair of men and sued for violation of their First Amendment rights by virtue of the wedding not being recognized by the state, and it would have been a much more interesting and possibly a winner. But the most important thing out of all of this is that, again, it is the action of the state, not the church, not the so-called sacrament, that makes it a marriage. And counties and municipalities and wards, everything down to the tiniest political subdivision in this country, are subject to the due process and equal protection clauses of the 14th Amendment. That means that you cannot have a law in this country that applies to one group of people, but which you deny to other groups of people. Equal protection of the law for all persons. And all persons are entitled to due process, both substantive and procedural. This is very important. Because it doesn't matter how many defense of merge, constitutional amendments the people, the dumbass rednecks in North Carolina pass. The North Carolina Constitution is subject to and subservient of the Constitution of the United States, which includes by incorporation its Bill of Rights and Amendments. So once and for all, let's understand that this is a right, all this marriage baloney, and I don't mean it baloney for people who want to get married, but all of this, fracas, this tempest in a teapot, this mountain made of a molehill, is entirely a construct of the bigots who exist in the right wing and want to see religion trump government. It is that damned simple. By example, if a gay couple walks into the assessor's office, it would be the assessor's office here in West Virginia, and says, we have an adorable Labrador Retriever puppy, and we want to get his dog tag. Well, the dog licensing requirements apply to everybody in the county, right? And the assessor has no choice, even if the gay couple walks in and says, and say to the assessor, my oh my, we are so gay we can hardly function. My goodness gracious, we are just gay, 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 and we are here for our dog license. Even if the assessor is a right-wing fundamentalist, strychnine-drinking, serpent-handling, floor-rolling, tongue-speaking freak, the assessor still has to go in the back and get Fido's little tag, and when they when the gay couple hands over the money, has to hand the tag back. Because they are entitled, by virtue of equal protection of the law, to do and to have what the law promises. And so for as long, and God knows we've seen this movie before, you know, things like miscegenation laws, Loving versus Virginia, we have seen instances, I mean, at one point in time, it was illegal, just plain illegal, for persons of color to get married at all. Just as today, in a majority of the several states, it is illegal for persons of the same gender to get married at all. Even though the laws regarding marriage should and must apply equally to all persons. And that, among other things, is why the right-wingers, the weirdos, the Garlows out here, and the strange lady in Lincoln, Nebraska, that you can't tell from Garlow because they both sound equally mentally ill, That's why they have to say things like, well, okay, so what if we got gay marriage? Well, next thing you know, we'll have people wanting to marry their dog. And you know they've said it because you've heard the audio on this program. That is pure, unmitigated, 110% grade A horse shit. So I just, when Barack Obama says things like, well, you know, I believe it's a states' rights matter, that's horseshit too. You know that old joke about the two guys standing there, and one guy says, you see that little bit of bird shit on your windshield, Fred? And he goes, yeah. He says, what's that little speck in the middle of it? That's bird shit too. When you say that someone's rights as expressed under the Constitution of the United States are a state's rights matter, what you are saying is that you lack the political courage to say that the Constitution of the United States should and must apply to all persons. So I just kind of wanted to get that out there. David mentioned earlier that all the for-profit media are hollering, oh, gay marriage, even though it's become clear that the way we're talking about it is marriage equality. Gay marriage! They do that because it serves as yet another piece of sickening divisiveness by the right wing. All marriages are civil unions. Every last one of them. Even in states that recognize common law marriage, which oddly enough, West Virginia does not. Such common law marriages exist only as a function of state action, and the state cannot take action that discriminates or deprives an entire class of individuals of equal protection of the law. The whole issue is a con. The whole issue is a shell game. The right wing dare not talk about the fact that their precious sacramental marriages aren't worth the gobbledygook that's uttered in their churches. The only thing that makes a marriage is state action. And state action is controlled by the Constitution of the United States, and in this instance, the Equal Protection Clause. No, Jim, don't have the 29-pound cat fitted for a wedding outfit, unless Rupert's going to be like the ring bearer or best man or something. Because it's just a right-wing ruse. What if five people want to get married? You know, that one I can't answer. That you got to go to talk to the Mormons about. Or their weird little breakaway sects that, you know, kidnap little girls and do things like that. And why, yeah. So you see, I hope, what I'm getting at. So just a quick little break, and we'll come back to your phone calls. Light them up if you want to. A couple of lights blinking. I hope you're still there when we get back. This is America's listener-supported, I might add, liberal voice. This is The Horn.
She used to rock and roll. I knew the bride when she used to rock and roll. Well, the bride looked a picture in the gown that her mama wore. When she was married herself nearly 27 years before. They had to change the style
a great wedding reception song. Gay or straight? Nick Lowe, I Knew the Bride. She used to rock and roll. And I thought I had it in the library here, but apparently it's disappeared. I was also looking for Elton John's Kiss the Bride, but oh well. 26 minutes past the hour. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is The Horn, More and Monday. And let us go straightway back to the phones. Hey, welcome to the program. Hello? I missed my busy signal. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hi, Bob. It's Chris again.
Hey, Chris. How you doing?
Okay. Regarding these Catholic churches, they always get up to mischief whenever they have two girls showing up or two guys showing up at the same time. Has it not occurred to any of them that maybe the demographic of those going to the prom is not going to be a perfect one-to-one match?
Well, and see, I kind of thought about that in this Lexington, Kentucky case, Chris, but I think these two young women were trying to make a statement because they said we're coming as dates. You know, well, I mean, anybody who's ever been to a junior high dance or a high school dance, and, well, I've seen some lately, knows that, well, there's a, you know, it was a horror. You know, you just come home and put the headphones on, cue up Steely Dan's Hey 19, and, you know, put the straw in the tequila bottle. But anyway, a lot of times, junior high all the way to high school, you know, the girls and the boys are paired off across the room staring at each other like some sort of OK Corral kind of, you know what I mean? And they're terrified of each other. And they sort of edge out and sort of, would you like to dance? You know? Out of just, because maybe she'll say no, maybe he'll say no. And so what you see a lot of the time is the girls dancing with the girls and the guys standing around looking sullen. And that could have happened here, and Principal Bishop Whackbottom or whatever his name is couldn't have really done anything about it because it's kind of normal teen behavior. But these two young women said, no, we're special to each other and we're dating. And that triggered Pastor Bishop Whackbottom to have his ecclesiastical hissy.
I'm just thinking, maybe the girls know all the guys in their class. They're teenage girls, right? They probably know all the guys in their class, or classes, the whole school. They probably know the whole school fairly well and know that all the boys are Catholic schoolboys and not to be, you know, interfered with or interacted with on any level because they have absolutely no redeeming social features. There you go. Ice cream.
Right.
Experiment goes off in absolute failure. Little one got her first ice cream.
Her first?
Second, probably.
Well,
her grandparents have been around. Okay.
At some point, she'll probably wear it, right?
Yeah, that's it. It's 20 degrees out. I figure, you know, if we're not going to give it to her today.
Oh, there you go, confusing me with your centigrade.
Okay, I have no idea about Fahrenheit. A scale determined by the average armpit temperature of a Norwegian male.
Hey, leave the Norwegians out of this. I've got listeners here. We've got members of the Horn family in Norway.
And I'm sure they own up to it. It's like, yeah, we set up the Fahrenheit scale. You're crazy for using it. They probably laugh at you behind the neck. Or whatever.
No, when you said 20, I was like, no way it's 20. Oh, but no, that means the ice cream's going to melt in a flat hurry.
Oh, yeah. The other thing, you know, maybe the girls just don't want to have anything to do with the guys in the school. I mean, I'm not really homosexual, but I'd rather spend time with the girls, or the guys, contrarily, than, you know, interact with those people over there of the opposite gender because they're horrible people and they don't know how to dance.
And we know what they, you know, right, what was it? I think the late, great Jane Mansfield said, the male human is that animal that has two legs and eight arms. Or something thereabouts, yeah.
We could eliminate a lot of
gropey, gropey, graspy, graspy.
If, you know,
but then again, Chris, please remember, we're talking about the Roman Catholic Church, which, you know, you've got kids that'll graduate from that church, that school, same thing, this year, who have been forbidden. You remember those 40% who said contraception doesn't matter; you'll get pregnant when it's your time.
Oh God, they exist still. That was a sick, epic joke.
No, no. Well, how, statistically speaking, some proportion of that 40% had to be Roman Catholic, and that is what they have been taught since they've been able to understand whatever their native language is, presumably English.
I have cousins that are Catholic. Each one of them got pregnant well before the age of consent.
Yeah, that's, yeah. Well, I mean, but by the same token, you know, Alabama has Christian family values, and so does Mississippi Stan, and yet they've, and they preach abstinence, because abstinence is what Jesus wants, and yet they've got a higher divorce rate and a higher teen pregnancy rate than, you know, heathen liberal Massachusetts. And I don't mean it's close. I mean, it's the huge, huge margin of, yeah.
Pathetic, but, you know, if they just taught the guys to dance, give them one redeeming feature in society, you can eliminate a lot of, you know, I don't care if you got acne, you can make it in the appropriate way, you know? Just a thought on that. The other one, I'm from Ontario originally, I'm not in BC, and I got no idea about BC, but in Ontario, the marriage contract that you signed, we got married at City Hall, we didn't get to religion, but I've been given to understand that when you get married in an Anglican church or whatever it's called, you're basically agreeing to raise your children in the teachings of that church.
Well, and, yeah, you kind of got, yeah, the Roman Catholics are real big with that.
Yeah, and
like if a Roman Catholic is marrying a non-Roman Catholic, the first thing you have to swear is that you will, when you start procreating, that the first thing you will do is make sure that that your children are tormented with the religious foppery and superstition attendant upon that particular flavor.
Yeah, but it doesn't imply anything else. It literally just it talks about the children, and I was looking it up, and it's like, but it doesn't have anything. It doesn't even cover, you know, you don't necessarily have to have sex with your wife. You don't, or my male partner. You don't have to like them. You don't have to enjoy their company. It's nothing. The big parts where the religion actually gets involved and the priest will actually come down on you is if you don't raise the children in that faith. They don't care.
Well, right, and understand, this is another case of that, Chris, because if the Roman Catholic, say, groom and the non-Catholic bride go and they ask Father Whackbottom to administer the sacrament of marriage, and he says, are you going to raise the children in the church? And they both say, nah, you know, we thought we'd let them figure it out for themselves. Guess what the priest gets to do and has to do? He says, sorry, I won't marry you. And the Constitution of the United States says that there's not a court in the world, a court in the land, that can compel that marriage to take place. You know, 99% of so-called mainstream or long-term or whatever Christianity is founded on a series of bigotries. You know, a certitude among sects, for instance, that they're going to heaven, but, for instance, like the Church of Christ, which was the dominant faith where I grew up. And I'm not talking about the nice Church of Christ, the United Churches of Christ. I'm talking about these people who won't allow a piano in the building and think tambourines are the devil's little shaky bits. They were the dominant faith, and they were so weird that it was understood that they really believed that they had the way, and it didn't matter, Baptist, Methodist, you know, they'd go to school with you and stuff, or, you know, your kids could play together, but at the end of the day or the end of the life, the Church of Christ understood that they were the only ones who were going to paradise after death. Everybody else, off to the toaster. Baptists, Methodists, Presbyterians, Lutherans, Catholics, Episcopals, whatever, gonna fry. Church of Christ, that's it.
It's interesting. In Ontario, when you get married, you can agree to also be married under the rules of the church, where it doesn't just affect the children. There is one little stipulation in there, which I thought was interesting regarding divorce, where if you do get divorced, you can stipulate that you want a priest to act as an intermediary or assist in the breakup of the marriage. Now, the Anglicans are not so big about their Protestants.
Right. You could not get that out of a Catholic priest, because they don't allow divorce, and you have to go through this charade of an annulment in which you have to prove that you never consummated the marriage. So you know, and it's been done in time, and, you know, it's a little embarrassing when you've got three or four kids and you're sitting there just lying through your teeth to the priest because you want an annulment. Oh, no, we never did it. No, never. Because you instantly turn your own children into little bastards.
Yep. When the Muslims tried to get the same provision put in, because they have their own marriage laws and ceremonies and how to separate and all that crap, and the Hindus tried it, the Hindus got it, but when the Muslims tried it, oh, no, they'll bring in Sharia law, and that's literally what Sharia law is. It's just...
Well, right. There are Hindu laws. There are... I don't know if the Buddhists have any. Probably one of the reasons I like Buddhism. But the Muslims have it. Judaism certainly has it. You know, the Horn's Jewish mother, Texas Betsy, is chatting with me right now. And she could tell you that family life is dictated by the Mosaic Law, especially if you're Orthodox, ultra-Orthodox, what have you. And so you don't just go downtown and get a divorce. It has to be run through the church, too. Well, where Roman Catholicism doesn't permit divorce, guess what? Islam does, and they allow the woman to divorce the man, which is rather kind of surprisingly, you know, forward-thinking.
Mm-hmm.
But there are probably Jewish divorces that are managed under Mosaic law that happen every day. There are probably Hindu divorces that are managed under some sort of something from the Bhagavad Gita or the Vedic whatever's every day. But if a Muslim tries to do it, you're absolutely right, Chris. Sharia law is on the march, and the next thing you know, we'll all be a bowing and a praying to Mecca. You know, Oklahoma got their Sharia law ban just turned sideways, rolled up, and shoved up their fundament. Because it was unconstitutional as hell. And yet, not to be slowed down, Chris, guess what? There's another one that is making its way through the state legislature of, oh yes, of course, Kansas, even as we speak. Knowing full well that it's going to be struck down, these repiglickins are doing it anyway. And here's the fun part. This time, they're characterizing it as a law to protect women and let them know they got rights. Well, the funny thing is, If a Roman Catholic woman wants a divorce, she has no religious right to a divorce. But a Muslim woman under Sharia does.
Yep. And thing is, the Muslims in Ontario right now are the only ones who do not get to have some religious figure mitigate their separation or their congregation. They're not even allowed to get married under Muslim whatever. But we've got civic marriages. And again, they don't. All it says is that your estates will be considered conjoined. There's certain medical things. It's called marriage under the law. Literally, all it is civic marriage. I was married at City Hall.
Right, and that's the whole thing, Chris. All of them, in the U.S. too, every last one of them, are civil unions that are defined by the state, whether the state calls it marriage, civil union, or cabbage. They are all functions of the rulemaking, law-applying power of the state, and the U.S. Constitution's Equal Protection Clause says you can't give rights to one group that you deny to another. I mean, for instance, just one of those moments of sublime irony, you know, North Carolina passed its gay marriage ban last week, right? Last Tuesday.
Yeah.
Well, guess when it was the last time the state of North Carolina passed a statute regarding who could and could not marry? Want to guess?
Segregation? Or wait, no.
Yeah, miscegenation. No interracial marrying in the state of North Carolina. And it took Loving versus Virginia to strike that the hell down.
You know, at the end of the day, how many people get married, what gender they are, and all that doesn't goddamn matter. It doesn't matter one bit. It's whether you can tolerate each other's presence more than anything else. And I do not understand. I see this in my peers of my age, my cohort. They go out there and they hook up, you know, modern euphemism. One gets knocked up, usually the female. And they think, oh, that's just a prerequisite for marriage. And then they get married, and then they can't figure out why they can't stand each other. Because apparently they've been thinking with their gonads so long, they think that's some sort of stand-in for intellect.
Ooh, well, there's tonight's toaster.
And when they can't stand each other when they get sober or, actually hang out with each other for a long time.
Or what is 99%, or, well, at least 75% of the time the case, when the financial hardships come along.
Yes.
Financial hardships are the not what we call here in the hills, not when one spouse goes out a romping on the other. No, honestly, the leading cause of divorce is financial pressure.
Exactly. I've actually known several people, can't call them friends really, that just, they just leave me completely mystified as to what's going through their head most of the time. But, they've had affairs, they've slept around, they think it's just de rigueur. It's just, the moment things turn bad financially, they can't stand each other and they run away. They're actually more afraid to share intimate details of their financial statements than their sexual orientation, which is just strange that we're so, ashamed or, concerned with our financial papers and our account status. I know older people. This is not unique to this generation. Parents, cousins, aunts, uncles, fellow workers and such, they will not have a joint account. Because they literally don't trust each other financially. They'll have sex with one another. They'll swap spit. They'll declare their...
Console wrestle.
...an account. And it just seems to me, doesn't that just make it all crass? And what's the point of getting married if it doesn't involve some sort of holistic union? And I don't know what the solution is to all these...
I think I do, Chris. I think the solution is to let everybody be eligible to make the same mistakes.
Mm.
Now, marriage equality...
Ending marriage entirely is like, look, you got...
Marriage equality means, by definition, divorce equality. And not all... gay marriages are going to work anymore than all heterosexual marriages work. I frankly think that because it is wanted more, the gay couples may actually pour more of the hard work, and at 19 years of marriage, please, I'd like to see 20. I'd like to see 30. I'd like to see 50. at 19 years, I can tell you, as anybody who's been married, well, you've been married a while. It ain't easy. And it's a question of whether you're more determined to stay with it or to bail out. And a lot of people have damn good reasons for bailing out. You've listed a few of them. But people have to be free not to just to get things right, but to get things wrong.
Yeah, the other side of freedom.
Yeah, and it's the fruit that grows on the other side of freedom's tree is pretty damn bitter.
And that's why you have social institutions to protect you for when, these things will happen. You have the freedom to get them wrong. We also have the freedom to make sure you don't starve in the street when you do get them wrong.
I mean, I remember when the gun goons had their little hissy when the domestic violence law was passed in this state because it said that, and let's face it, 99.9% of domestic violences are filed by women against men because the men are 99.9% of the time the damn brutes. Well, we've got a law that says if you're charged with a domestic violence complaint, then you have to give up all your firearms. So that in a moment of heated passion, you won't decide to blow away your estranged spouse. It happens anyway, but at least we made the effort. And the gun goons, they're violating our Second Amendment rights to protect our sacred homes when the government becomes tyrannical.
I don't know. I don't think, if the guy wants a gun, he can probably get it. I think if these guys think that using violence against someone who cannot reciprocate, that they're that cowardly. So, we actually used to have Code Duello in Canada quite a while. Lasted right up to the end of World War One.
No kidding.
And if you violated someone's honor, he could slap your face and say, "I will see you on the field of honor, sir." And it could be women, it could be men. There were champions, the whole nine yards, you know, the whole establishment, right up to the end of World War One. And you know what? People were bloody polite. Marriages lasted really, really long because you didn't want the sharpshooter ace cousin of your estranged spouse coming out one day and saying, "You know what? My wife really hates you. Honor be damned, you're a dead man. I'll see you on the field of honor." Oh, crap, you know? They're polite. I honestly think if you're going to have a gun culture, and I don't see America drifting away from this lovely nestle of AK-47s and such, go whole hog. If you're going to have people with guns, they ought to learn how to be polite. And it's the only way you can establish courtesy with everybody armed to the teeth is the same way that medieval knights did it, when everybody was walking around with a sword or a machete or a poleaxe or something like that. And give them the opportunity to seek justice. You want to live in a, you know, Mad Max universe? Go for it. You wander out there and you piss off as many people as you want with your right to free speech. And, you know, just make sure you got a frequent flyer miles thing for your car membership at the Field of Honor. Because you're going to spend a lot of time there dodging bullets. And there were two or three rules to that. You could do Ellerton rules. You could do,
the U.S. I'm trying. New York State had actually gotten rid of Code Duello by the time that Alexander Hamilton said whatever tawdry, salacious thing he said about Aaron Burr, and Aaron Burr called him out. That's why they had to go across to the plains at Weehawken to settle matters, because New Jersey hadn't outlawed it yet. And that was 1802?
Ow.
But it went on legally and illegally. There's a plaque on a corner on Pennsylvania Avenue right near the White House that is the townhouse mansion of a famous naval hero named Stephen Decatur, who died in his prime, having just moved into his home, because some other commodore disagreed with the fact that Stephen Decatur had voted to find him having performed unfitly in the loss of his ship. And he got called out, and he got killed in cold blood, and he was carried back to his home, and he died, and it's some sort of a government office building now. But that stuff, and in the Deep South, oh, it went on all over the place. And generally it was pistols, because swordsmanship had long since gone out of fashion.
You think that's why there were so many more black people than white people? Not so much because they're all working like hell to make sure there was enough white people to rule the black people or not. Well, you know, if they kept blowing away half their bloody population, maybe that's the true result. That's the true legacy of it.
Well, you know, if you think back to what Charles C. Mann said, that was sort of a there was sort of a population disparity from the very beginning when the slave trade was necessitated by the Anopheles mosquito. And, well, human greed and hate and, you know, everything else that went with slavery. But beyond that, no, there's a valid point to that. But the other thing is the rise of the pistol, Chris, made a profound difference. Because back when dueling was done with swords, generally the rules often spoke to the fact that first blood.
Mm-hmm.
And at first blood, the offended party could say, you know, is your honor satisfied? And, yeah, okay, good enough. And, of course, you know, blood drawn by a sword in the 18th century could damned well kill you from sepsis. But still, you know, a nick, a cut, first blood, done. Whereas with the advent of the pistol, there were all kinds of shenanigans that led to all kinds of disastrous results. Nobody to this day knows exactly whether or not Aaron Burr meant to kill Alexander Hamilton. Alexander Hamilton actually fired first, but he had hair trigger pistols, and his went, you know, into a tree or something. And then goodbye Alexander Hamilton, once Aaron Burr figured out that he meant to kill him, because they hated each other. And then if you read up on the duel between Stephen Decatur and whoever the incompetent commodore was, you'll find out that that was probably a mistake, too. because these guys had histories of doing this, and they came up with little convoluted tactics whereby they would not kill each other. But every now and then, that all went sideways. In the case of Stephen Decatur, he had to leave the District of Columbia in order to go and engage in his duel, and I believe he went to Maryland in order to do so, so as to evade the law of D.C., which had forbidden code duello, because half of the Senate and half of the House of Representatives would have been at each other day and night had they not.
Well, maybe we should just make it for politicians. Do you seek political office? You're open to code duello. And then arm everybody to the teeth with grenades.
Oh,
people will be very polite from now on. Again, I think if we could just establish...
I don't know if this is a solution, Chris. I think you may have upped the ante just a little too high.
No. There's no future in having more of these people around. You know, liberals are smart, sensical, sane people. They'll stay out of politics. No problem. Tigers for government. Yay! I'll throw money at their campaign. Go on! You'll inevitably piss somebody in your party off and end up on a stretcher.
Well, the fun thing is, if we did do that, the teabaggers would spend most of their time offing each other.
That's the point. They're not legally culpable. Like throwing money at a civil war. Hey, go for it, guys. I'll get your oil after, the dust settles.
And by the way, just a couple of comments along the way. Isaac writing in said, if you want to stop having sex, get married.
Mm-hmm.
There's some truth to that. But it's not like you don't want to or you're bored. Generally, it's amazing what childbirth, not the act of childbirth, but, crying babies and, I never knew it until I got married and we had children. I had no idea that children are nauseated, absolutely nauseated by the smell of clean laundry. And that's why whatever you put on that's clean when you've got a baby winds up with vomit all over it.
They'll seem that way.
It's that kind of thing. On the other hand, our buddy Robert in Australia pointing out, you're familiar with Rowan Atkinson, right?
Oh, yeah.
The Devil Toby Welcomes You to Hell, that skit, I've seen it before, it's delightful, where the devil just works out the basic rules to hell, and they come as rather of a surprise.
Right. Any Christian that's over there, the Jews are right.
Yeah. And, oh, by the way, who's going to heaven? Mormons. Mormons. Yeah, I loved it. Chris, good to talk to you, and by the way, our buddy Randy in PA sent me along a Fukushima blog that sort of made me feel like somebody had toothpicked my eyelids open over the weekend. I didn't want to go to sleep.
I'll fix it later. I know. The lovely little thing is Malloy covered this, and a few people have been cocky about the new solar cycle popping up transformers in 10 years without. But the one thing we've got to remember is there's nuclear power plants connected to those transformers in that grid, and I don't think there's a surfeit of Palin-esque governors out there who might not see fit to divert necessary diesel fuel to keep these nuclear reactors up in cooling
right.
ability.
And of course, I read something earlier today that the two that the American taxpayers are subsidizing, that's corporate welfare for those who are keeping score, are now estimated to have at least, not at most, Chris, but at least, these are two nuclear power plants in Georgistan. And
left, want them myself just because they're Georgians.
The cost overruns are going to be at least $900 million.
Not a single reactor in the history of man has ever gone in on budget. Period. Not one. Do you think this would be considered a trend? There'd be like a nuclear budgetary coefficient that we multiply all budget estimates by to come to a more precise conclusion. But there isn't one. They vary everything from 10 times the normal cost to 1,000 times the cost of the initial plan. Actually, I think that there's one there that hit 10,000 because they lowballed the budget to get it through. This is stupid. It's stupid. It bankrupts the state. It doesn't provide as much power as you think it does. It involves all kinds of horrible waste that nobody has a way of getting rid of yet. And
or possibly ever. I mean, what are we going to do? Put it on a spaceship and launch it and hope it reaches escape velocity and just sort of send it into space behind Voyager or something?
there's actually a really good story. Larry Niven does it about a guy who develops a radiation field, but that's after the fact. Until they develop this wonderful radiation technology field thingy, the people of Earth collaborated to send all their nuclear waste up to Delray Crater, turning it into a giant verboten sign on the moon. Do not go there. Lots of radiation. They set up whole reactor cores and all that. And it's like, you know what, that might work if we didn't have to worry about things like Shuttle Columbia and all the other disasters we have.
Right. That's the whole point. Yeah. 3, 2, Morton Thiokol, 1.
Yep.
Yeah. Disaster. Hey, Chris, good to hear from you. Have yourself a good evening. And I hope the little one enjoyed your ice cream.
She did. Cheers.
Good, good. Later. Bye.
Later. Bye.
Our buddy Chris calling from Nanaimo, British Columbia. So that's Moran Monday. And darned fine fun, I think it was. Thanks to all of you, every last one of you who contributed this evening, meeting John's challenge and going over the top as well. Thank you very much. A little note, if you look at the graph at headonradionetwork.com, it will show that we have met our fundraising goal. We haven't. What that actually is the transfer of funds for expenses related to ticketing and stuff that gets reimbursed by the people who have invited me over to Europe. And the associated response, the actual number is probably closer to $900 than the full monthly fundraising. So I just wanted to make that clear. And think, hey, he's still raising money. No. So it is time to get out of here. Thanks, everybody, for all you do that keeps all of this going. Thank you very, very much. Back tomorrow night with Twisted Tuesday, or whatever it is we're calling Tuesday these days. Thanks to our chat room moderators, Lottie and Sparky. Thanks to our news ninjas, Gene and Susan. Thank you to, and sorry for no show post today, Susan. Agnes is caught up, and I was in a meeting, and my apologies. Thanks to our blogger, Texas Betsy. Thanks to my our occasional op-ed correspondent, Reverbo, operating behind the cornbread curtain down beneath the possum line. Thanks to John Fox. And for all that he does, he's a very busy man. I heard from him over the weekend. My goodness gracious. He's actually working on an album, which is cool. Hope he didn't mind me saying that. And thanks to Ben Birch, who makes all of the streams stream and everybody, all the little packets pass and the inner tubes and inner webs behave as they should. Thank you, Ben. WhiteRoseSociety.org. And, of course, thanks go out to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And go especially to stoptheache.org and learn about the Appalachian Community Health Emergency Campaign, which is, of course, what has taken up so much of my time in the last few months and will continue to do so, so that perhaps we can avoid the disasters that befall people who live in this region. And always, 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 Gina. Judy. It's all for you.